time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. A little warmer than yesterday, 78 degrees. Humidity is 28. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 22 miles an hour. Gusting up to 28. We are under a fire weather warning until 8 o'clock. Tonight, the red flag is out today, guys. So everybody, please be careful out there with what you're doing with equipment, the whole nine yards. We've seen in the last 3 weeks what's happened right here by Elk City at Berlin and up north at Durham, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But just be careful out there, please. Well, let's see here. Let's go with the live markets real quick. Let me make sure they're good. I hate it. Crude oil's up $2.70. It's almost $107 in West Texas. That's West Texas. Natural gas, it's $7.30. It's there went the fertilizer prices. And we'll get to that here a little later on. Live cattle, April 140.67, June 136.42. August 138.32, October 144.82, feeder cattle 158.20, 161.77 for May, and lean hogs just took a big jump since yesterday. May 112.75, June 118.47, July 119, and cotton's at $1.42 a pound. All right, let's go over here to the cash grain prices in Oklahoma. And wheat is down just a little bit, $10.86 a bushel. Corn, $8.04. Milo, $7.72. Soybeans, $15.95. So there you have it. Corn and soybean sales rose week to week, while wheat dropped, according to the USDA. Corn sales in sevens. In the 7 days it ended on April 7th, total 1,332,900 metric tons. That's up 70% from the previous week and 26% from the prior four-week average. Colombia was in there at 108,000. Mexico purchased 418,000, and China took 671,000, and Canada bought 43,000. And South Korea came in there at 151,000 tons. Sales for the 2022-23 marketing year has totaled 403,100 metric tons so far. Exports for the week were down 5% to 1.56 million tons. Wheat sales also dropped 39% from the previous week and 30% from the average to 96,100 metric tons, according to the USDA. South Korea took 9,500 metric tons, Mexico 56,500, Guatemala was in there at 12,600, Panama purchased 25,400, and Nigeria took 14,000 tons from the United States supplies. An unknown destination. You know, you guys, that's my favorite word on this, these first segment reports. An unknown destination canceled shipments of 24,000 metric tons, and El Salvador stopped in order for 24,300. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year was reported at 225,200 tons. Exports for the week were up 10% to 340,000 metric tons, and that was up 7% from the prior four-week average. Soybean sales fell to 548,900 metric tons. That's down from 31% from the previous week and 41% from the prior four-week average. Sales for the next marketing year for soybeans total 458,000 metric tons. Exports for the week were down 3% to 806,500 tons, but up 19% from prior four-week average, according to the USDA. Well, this war in Ukraine could shrink their, amid concerns, the harvest in Ukraine will shrink considerably this year. There is also speculation the war could affect the country's production of crop seeds for the 23 planting year. The loss of seed production will affect mostly corn and sunflowers. I had a buddy of mine that's in the grocery business tell me, if you want to get into a good business right now, sunflowers. Sunflower oil is hot tamale right now. So with production plans already set for this year in other countries, it will be difficult to offset what could be the drop of about half of Ukraine's seed output, according to the French Seed Association for Seed Companies and Plant Breeders in its news conference. Table was his name. He also noted the seed sector could see a lot of disruption in the next 2 years. By the end of March, Ukrainian farmers have received about 60% of their corn seeds and 90% of their sunflower seeds. Well, we got unseasonably warm across the south today, and we all know that. Weather for the upcoming weekend in the lower 48 states looks to be unseasonably warm across the south, with more winter-like conditions in the north. If you guys got time for an extra prayer, please send it out for those guys up north, because this is one of the worst snowstorms to hit them in a long time. And I've seen anywhere from 24 to 36 inches of snow has fell in those areas, and I don't think they was prepared for it. This is an unusual season. This is unusual weather in the United States. The most active weather will occur between these two air masses that are coming down. It's just like tomorrow. It's going to be cold in Oklahoma, and today it's going to be warm. So you know how it goes. One day, if you want to see all four seasons in Oklahoma, just come here and visit during the spring, and you'll see it all. Expect areas of showers and thunderstorms to surround the mid-state ahead of mid-south ahead of the low pressure in the southern plains, and a warm front lifting through the lower Mississippi Valley this afternoon. By Saturday, the cold front pushes through the east into the deep south, with the deep south having their best chance of strong thunderstorms. Favorable fire conditions remain in effect for central and southern high plains today. A critical risk area has been issued for southeast Colorado, northeast New Mexico, and the far northern and western portions of the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. And we are under red flag here in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. I have Mr. Kent Watkins in here from SEI Agritech. We're going to talk about fertilizers, food, the whole nine yards. So please stay with us and come back and listen. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about, how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
80 degrees. Whoa, turn it up a little higher. 80 degrees. Humidity's 27. Weather out of the southwest at 24 miles an hour. Gusting up to 29. And we are under fire weather warning, so take note. Mr. Watkins, welcome back.
Thank you. I remembered this time.
So anyway, well, at least you didn't forget.
No.
So my wife will be texting here in a second with those two words being used. The KCO Ag Text line is open for any comments, questions you have for Kent Wise here or for me. Doesn't matter. It's open. We are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECOFM.com. Before I get with Kent, because Kent made my day here just a minute ago, we're making a flyer up for the raffle that I told you guys about yesterday. Well, it's made up. It'll be in the Penny News next week. The raffle tickets are getting made up as of right now, but I got to talk about it because it's a great deal. So this is called the Roger Mills County Fire Department's Relief Fund. There's going to be five winners. There's a half a certified Angus beef that was processed by the butcher block in Canute, and that was donated by the Price Farms. There's a Colt AR-15 A4 5.56 rifle. There's a Browning silver 12-gauge shotgun. I wanted to say 20 because that's what I want to win from a quail hunting. But anyway, Weatherby Vanguard 308 Winchester, and a surprise amount on a gift certificate to Gardner Guns right here in Elk City. These tickets are going to be $10 each. And the raffle winners will be contacted by phone on May 13th, thereabouts. And when the tickets, I'll let you guys know when the raffle tickets are available, but you can purchase it from your favorite Roger Mills fireman. And if you don't know any, you can contact me. We'll have this out in the Penny News next week. But I just got to get a big shout out. First, I'm going to start with Kent Watkins. He heard us talking about it when he came in here just a little bit ago, and he just, him and his wife just donated $500 to the Willow Fire Department. And thank you, Kent, very much.
You bet.
They can use it. They can all use it, but got $500 for the Willow Fire Department. But the people that donated money to purchase these guns and rifles and everything here on this deal we're going to have for Roger Mills, Jamie and Jerry Michaels, Michael and Kendall and Sloan, I hope I said that right, Otis and Jimmy Frazier, Steve and Connie Criswell, Jim and Dora Martindale, Brandon and Jill Culver, Brett Metter, Justin and Brandy Lowberger, is I saying that right? Justin Lowberger and Kyle Brown. Thank you so much. They're the ones that made these gifts possible for this raffle. So, and I'll mention them again next week. But, you know, money's tight with a lot of people right now. Things are just not just hunky-dory. And for them to, from the bottom of their heart, pull out money, including Kent sitting right here, to help these fire departments out because they're in a bind. Because it's my understanding, especially like down in Greer County, Kent, the Reed Fire Department had to shut down because there's no funds. And you know, it's not very populated around there, so there's not a lot of available assets down there. Jester's down to one fire truck, and Willow Fire Department is in a dire need for a one-ton, for a brush rig, because they've all, Mangum, Granite, all of them have been up here on all these fires, and, you know, the Willow, I seen them up there by Jimmy and Tracy's house the other night, and it's a big rig. And those brush rigs just do so much better on these fires like this. So, and one of these days, I hope not, because that's where my cows and my grass is down there in the breaks at Willow. I hope we never have a fire, but when we do, those, we're going to be down there helping them just like they was helping us.
Yeah, that's right. We're lucky we get to live where we live because people will help out.
Yeah, and this deal, like LC called me the other morning. LC's kind of the one that got this thing fired up. He said, man, I got a half a beef. What can we do with it? Well, here's what it's turned into.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's just a great community that we live in, both sides of the state. And you haven't heard the last of me on this. But anyway, well, since you remember to show up, what are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to start with what I always start with, and that's the five pillars of soil health, because I just want to drill that into everybody's head.
Yep.
And that's for the southern plains, that's armor on the soil. That means keep it covered up and don't let it get uncovered. Like I have my own farm, I let it get uncovered in this last winter, and now with no rain, I'm struggling to get it covered up again.
Right.
So don't let that happen. Low or no disturbance on the soil. That means no-till drills, no-till planters. Leave the tillage tools in the tree row. Diversity of plants. And that means multi-species crops, especially for hay or grazing. What we've seen in that is that you can take all those, throw them together in a blend, and they do just fine. But if you take them in monoculture or plant each one of them, there's a really good chance they'll die. And that just proves that plant life helps each other out. We used to think they competed, but they don't. They help each other out. And then a living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. And that helps promote mycorrhizal fungi and single-cell plant life.
I'm glad you said that because I couldn't have.
Yeah, it's a long word. And then livestock where it applies.
Right.
You know, some farms can't, but where it applies.
Well, and then this drought has just got everybody on edge and what to do, and because we really haven't had any rain to speak of since, what, in the September last year?
I was looking back at my stuff, and I've had, on my farm, I've had 2 inches of rain since September 1st.
Yep.
And that's not enough.
Oh, no.
It doesn't even come close with the winds we're having and all that.
That's desert stuff.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay, so we'll go out of that into what I thought we could talk about a little bit today. I'm going to get a little bit out of my lane and talk about supply chain somewhat, but more about food insecurity. And we're starting to hear food insecurity some in the news, in media, and all that. And the truth of the matter is, the United States as a country hasn't had to deal with food insecurity on a national level for 90 years, since the Depression. And we've all seen the pictures of the soup lines and all that in New York and all that back in the day. And as a nation, we haven't really had to deal with that. I mean, there's been food deserts here and there in big cities, but not as a whole. So that's the bad news. We're lucky. This is the good news. We're lucky because we live where we live. So we can grow or raise 100% of our food needs right here. Everybody, I don't care if you live in an apartment or if you're living out on a farm or in the suburbs or neighborhoods, everybody can grow somewhat of a little garden or a big garden. And even if that's, you know, patio pots or two or three go together and put a little garden in, that would help you grow the things you need for the summer if you put in a little bit more, and you can start canning this summer for your winter needs. And people are probably rolling their eyes and say, that's never going to happen. It's probably going to happen. It's going to happen. I think they're pushing it that way. The people in power want us to, as citizens of this country, they want us asking for everything we get. So instead of doing that, why don't we just take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and grow our own, can our own. Yeah, the canning supplies, the canner, it's kind of high dollar, you know, but if you can't afford it, get two or three or five or 15 people to go together and pitch in and go get the supplies you need, help each other do it.
Get their fair share.
Get their fair share. Help out if you have elderly people that you know that can't do that. Take it to them. Help them out. People who are infirmed, who can't do it, help them out. Help each other. That's all. This is what this is going to get down to.
I remember you're just a little bit older than me, not much, but you're a little bit older than me. And I remember growing up, my mom sending me down in the cellar about once a week to get a jar of this or a jar of that.
Absolutely.
And those shelves were full of that.
Absolutely. And mine was the same way.
And the food was great.
Absolutely. Yes, it was. You know, you're not going to make these decisions sitting in the line at McDonald's or Arby's. No. You got to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And it would be a good thing just to get back to, you know, what we used to be.
Right.
As far now, that would take care of the carbohydrate side of your diet. As far as protein, start with chicken and eggs. Those are pretty easy. And they're cheap forms of protein. But we, you know, the common thing here is beef. A few people like lamb. Some people like lamb. But let's talk about beef. Raise your own. Okay, Kent, that's great, except I think there's a city ordinance about having steers in the backyard.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are plenty of people around here who will do that for you.
Yep.
Taylor Ranch is one.
Yep.
Ty Ford's another.
Yep.
George Creek Market is another. Yep. Those are three just right off the top of my head.
There's plenty of them around.
There's plenty of them around. There's 20 of them that I didn't mention, but there's plenty of them around. And they will raise it. They will get you a date at the locker plant. And they will do all the processing for you. You don't have to be there for any of that, and I'm not going to be myself, but you don't have to be. And bring it home, put it in the freezer, and you're set.
Well, they, yeah, because, you know, I pushed it on the show, buy local, get it processed local. And it's a big thing to me because it's important.
Yeah.
You're keeping that money in the neighborhood.
Right.
And also, you're saving money at the same time. And I realize not everybody has a freezer big enough for a quarter or half or a full beef. I really realize that. But go back to what you just said about the gardening part. Go in with a couple. Your neighbor might have that freezer.
That's right.
And
he might have the canner.
Yeah.
He hasn't used it in 15 years, right. But he or she might have it.
And you just take a black margin marker, permanent marker, put this is Jimmy's T-bone.
Sure.
Stay out of it, neighbor. There's always ways to work this out.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But we're coming to this food insecurity thing, and it's going to be a real deal. And I don't think it's going to be where we see food lines, but you're going to start noticing that. And I think most people already have started noticing that the shelves are not as full as they used to be at the grocery stores or Walmart or wherever you want to go. I think it's more of a design than by happenstance. I really do.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things. You go in the grocery stores. Well, it's like my friend, the grocer. He, you know, anything with sunflower oil, they can't get their hands on it. Right. And, you know, the war just started a month ago. Where did that sunflower oil go?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that takes me into I'm going to swerve back into my lane now. Be careful what you hear on the news, what you believe, and what you see. A lot of it's smoke and mirrors, and I'm going to give you an example of that. They keep talking about food insecurity, and we're going to have a food insecurity here in the United States. And what I heard 3 or 4 weeks ago was because Russia invaded Ukraine, and the United States put some sanctions on Russia, so Russia is not going to sell the United States phosphorus fertilizer anymore. Big whoop. That's a lie. We do bring in imports, but that's a trading thing, not because we need it. It's the United States buys Russian fertilizer, and we sell them wing nuts or whatever it is. Yeah. That's a trading thing. It's not because we are in dire need of Russian phosphorus.
Right.
So when you think about, I just want to talk about N, P, and K today, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. when we talk about nitrogen, all the nitrogens that we use in all forms, they're all a manufactured product. So what happens there is those nitrogen plants are tied to the back of a natural gas plant. Nitric acid is a byproduct of natural gas. And they send that nitric acid down the line to the nitrogen manufacturing plant, and then all forms of nitrogen, whether it be anhydrous ammonia, urea, ammonium nitrate, ammonium sulfate, the list goes on. They're all manufactured at these specific plants. Liquid 28, UAN, or 32, they're all the... So we have a nitrogen manufacturing plant at Woodward, small one. You know, it's a regional size. There's a giant one at Donaldsonville, Louisiana, and they make a huge amount of UAN down there. And then they send it up the Mississippi River and winds up at the port at Tulsa and then gets dispersed through Oklahoma and Kansas, Missouri, and all that. So that answers the nitrogen question. None of it is, if they do, it's still just a trade thing. What we use here is manufactured here.
All right.
Okay. Phosphorus. Phosphorus is a mined product. It's not a manufactured product. They mine it just like they do coal or copper or anything else. And then they condition it, put it in condition so that farmers can use it, and it's trucked out. You have two forms of phosphorus. You have two varieties of phosphorus, let's say. And I'm talking about dry phosphorus. If the phosphorus is black, it came from Florida. If the phosphorus is green, it came from Wyoming or it came from Canada. None of it came from Russia.
Okay.
It just didn't. We typically don't get black phosphorus here because transportation drives it way too high to get it from Florida here. So the vast majority of our phosphorus is mined out of Canada for the most part.
I've seen some black here, but it's not been very often.
No, it's not very often. Okay, so then you talk about the liquid phosphorus like 1034 or 1137. That's a reactive process, and it's done on site, and it takes phosphoric acid, anhydrous ammonia, water, and a cooling tower. So that's a manufactured process. That is not brought in from overseas either. It's done right here.
Right.
So if you want to own phosphorus in the form of a mining company, as far as phosphorus goes, Agrium owns the vast majority of it. They're Canadian-based, but they own it. And then we can go on to potash. The potash we use here is murate potash. It's a mine product. They condition it, put it on their truck, and ship it. And that's done out of Carlsbad, New Mexico. Mosaic is the company that does that. They're owned by Potash Corp. That's a Canadian company, but they're still publicly traded. So when they talk about fertilizer shortages, that's a lie. They may restrict shipments to get the price where they want it, but as far as it not being available, that's just not true. It is available.
It is available.
It is available.
Well, if you guys are just joining me, I got Kent Watkins in here with SEI Agritech, and we're talking about food insecurity, and we're talking about some fertilizers on shortages or where it's made, why it's traded, and he just filled us in that it's a lie. We're going to be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 8th. 965 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 468 brought 199. 12 at 535 brought 187.50. 7 at 570 brought 178.50. 8 at 713 brought 162. 11 at 767 brought 153.50. 4 head heifers at 404 brought 183. 7 at 487 brought 171. 5 at 615 brought 144. 7 at 794 brought 133. 9 at 1017 brought 110.50. Butcher cows were 44 to 100. Butcher bulls brought 87 to $127.50. Bred cows were $7.85 to $14.60. Pairs brought $3.85 to $16.50. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
82 degrees, wind south, southwest, 21, gusting up to 27. Hey, Ed Carter or Chad Newman, if you guys are listening out there at the Circle M Animal Hospital, I got my Ed Carter flat bill going back to the streets hat on today. Just want to let you know that I'm thinking of you, Mr. Carter. So anyway, take a look at me. Flat bill, it's the way you wear it. I don't have it on sideways like I'm really on the street, but pretty close. Anyway, Kent Watkins, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left back here, and he's with SEI Agritech. Last segment, we covered food insecurity and fertilizers and anything you hear about shortages. There might be a demand shortage in the United States, and they can't get it shipped out, but it's there.
It's there. And if you don't believe that, get on I-40 and make a trip to Clinton or Weatherford or out to Shamrock and take your life in your hands with all the trucks that are on the road right now.
Right.
There's a huge number of trucks on the road right now.
Oh, yeah. They're so scary.
Yeah.
It's about time we went to three lane.
Yeah. We need to spend money on that.
So, anyway, what else we got here?
Okay. So I said all that to say, just because they say it on TV, don't believe it. Do some investigating on your own. Most of those people are just talking heads anyway, and they wouldn't know a chicken from a combine header.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, they've been generations and away from the farm, if they were ever saw one to begin with, and they just don't know. The other thing that I would say, and you're starting to see that now, it's coming in the news a little bit. They started talking about avian flu.
Yep.
In the chickens and in the turkeys.
And I've talked about it on here.
Okay. So they found according to the news,
a duck.
They found a wild duck somewhere in Michigan, I think, or somewhere up there, who had a head cold. So because of that duck and a quail in Texas, wild quail in Texas, we killed, 24 million chickens and turkeys?
Yeah.
Chickens, turkeys, eggs, cheapest form of protein there is.
Yep.
If they control that, then they control your diet and they control you.
Right.
So don't buy into everything that they say just because they say it, because it's probably not true. I'm not saying avian flu is not out there. My guess is it's been out there since the beginning of time or shortly thereafter.
You haven't seen the latest? They got chickens wearing masks.
That's good. That's what we need. That's in this kind of, it just That's right in there with the rest of the stupid stuff we're doing in this country. So, you know, just pay attention and do your own investigation, and you'll see that some of this, most of this, is smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Trying to scare people into control.
Right.
That's not going to work out here in the middle part of the country where there's not that kind of people.
No. Yeah, they had the one duck he was talking about was actually up in northern Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I reported on it. And just let people aware that they said they found one. But what are you going to do about a wild duck?
That's just it.
How'd they catch a wild duck to start with?
There you go. I mean, he was probably delirious, and they snuck up on him in the high wind. And great. I don't know.
Downwind or upwind?
Well, you would want to come from the downwind side so he can't hear you. And sprinkle salt on his tail so he can't fly away.
I've heard that.
Yeah. That makes about as much sense as what they're telling you.
Right.
So, you know, if you kill 24 million birds, probably north of that now, it's going to force food prices higher.
Yeah, like eggs.
Yeah. They're talking about eggs being $6, $7, $8 by the end of this year. It's just another form of control is really all it is.
Right.
So just do your own investigations and come up with your own plan.
Your own conclusion.
Yes, and please, I think we will see food shortages that we haven't seen in a long time, but get a small group, large group, whatever. Get together and do your own thing.
Well, they got, well, you talk about, it's really not all that hard to grow stuff.
No.
And there's plenty of places to buy tomato plants, seeds, whatever you need around here. I got two gardens. I got a big one on my farmland where I got irrigation, mm-hmm. and I got a big one, or not a big one, but a normal size garden over by the house because my wife's all organic, so we can do all organic right. stuff over there. And but you can go out here to any farm or ranch. Ask them for some of those protein tubs they got, and put them on your back porch. And actually, as I was telling you during break, I think those protein tubs, for the way they're, how big they are and how much dirt and moss and mm-hmm. Stuff you put in, grow the best new potatoes in the world.
Absolutely.
And you can grow squash on them, you can grow okra on them, you can grow corn in them if you want to.
Right.
But it's really not all that hard, but it takes a lot of food to be grown to store up in your basement.
Yes.
So just don't do one tub.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I started canning last summer, and I can tell you, if I can do it without putting a skylight through the kitchen with that pressure canner, anybody can do it.
Man, so, there's a lot of times I sit there and watch my mom in there, that thing.
That's right.
And I was like, when's this thing going to go?
If she didn't pay attention, it was going to.
Because mom always overloaded it with jars.
Right.
She always overloaded. She said, the more you get in there, the faster you get done.
Well, that's true.
Well, but, you know, my mom was born in 1914. She knew how to get her done. And a lot of ladies today, mother-in-law still cans, but it's just, you know, you hit it right on the head. Just kind of at least be partially self-sufficient.
Yes. Like I said, you can't plan for this in the line in a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and actually plan and go forward with it. But I can just about guarantee you that they are going to restrict food, and there are going to be places where there is going to be severe food shortages this year and next.
But not to worry. They're not going to restrict your iPhones because they want you to get this false information.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And the liquor stores will stay open yeah. the entire time.
Well, Kent, thanks for coming in. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech's been in here talking about fertilizer and food, and can't wait to see what you got to talk about next month. I always love to hear the five pillars of soil health because it's true. We got to have armor on our soil.
That's right.
And this is one year that having something over your soil is going to prove maybe to be sufficient. So anyway, thanks a lot for coming in. And I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast coming up right after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, April the 12th, we sold 762 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, April the 14th, we sold 3,298 calves, feeders for a total of 4,060 cows for the week. We had a special cow and bull sale on Tuesday, selling 39 black 2-year-old pairs at $19.50. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 81 to $86.50. Thin cows bring 50 to 82. Bulls brought 82 to 119. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 950 to 1425. With her 9 and older bred cows, 935 to 1335. 2-year-old black pairs, 1950. 5 to 8-year-old pairs, 1160 to 1500. And our 9 and older pairs, 1350. Our steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 227 to 232. 4 to 450, 182 to 209. 5 to 550, 195 to 206.50. We sold a string of black steers weighing 550, bring 206.50. 6 to 650, 171 to 184. 7 to 750, 163, 10 to 167. 8 to 850, 154 to 159.50. 9 to 950 steers, 147.75 to 149. We sold 2 loads of steers weighing over 9. Black that bring 149. 1,000 to 1,100 pound steers, 135 to 137.10. On our heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 165 to 186. 5 to 550, 159 to 175. 6 to 650, 154 to 160.10. 7 to 750, 143 to 153. 8 to 850, 135 to 145.50. 9 to 950 heifers, 118 to 135 and a quarter. And 65 heifers, one bunch weighing 1,014, bring 128.50. Very good sale, selling several big strings of cattle. For this night, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs. Plus, we got 30 other bred cows, 5 to 8-year-old. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. We have 14 feeder buyers there every week. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Whoa, 83 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 21 miles an hour, gust up to 28. We are under a fire weather warning till 8 p.m. tonight. Humidity is 25% now. It's dropped all during the show today. High of 91, sunny, breezy like it is now. Tomorrow is going to be really breezy, 62 for a high, winds out of the northeast, 18 to 23 miles an hour. Great day for the alumni parade at Sayre, the alumni golf tournament, and then the Dean Jackson Band is going to be over there at the Sayre golf course tomorrow evening, singing live. Be quite the time. Sayre alumni takes that stuff serious. I've only been over in the Sayre area about 7 years now, but they take their where they went to school stuff. They take it pretty serious. It's impressive. I like it. Tomorrow night, 45 degrees. Sunday, 77. Monday, 66. Uh-oh. Tuesday, high 72, and we have a chance of rain coming up. So let's all just pitch in and give a big old prayer out there, especially on Easter weekend, that we get some rain in our communities next week on the east side of the state line and the west side of the state line. I have to give I want to shout out a couple things to some people. There's on some fire departments. There's a Firestorm Cornhole Tournament going to be in Snyder. It's going to be May 21st, and you can find this on 580 Cornhole Facebook page, I believe. And this is money to raise for 50% payout. You're going to make some money, but the rest of the money is going to the fire department there in southern Kiowa County. But also on May 22nd, the 2022 Firestorm Snyder, Mountain Park, Roosevelt, and Cooperton will be having a spaghetti dinner. I might be heading that way because I do love spaghetti. Be having a silent auction there also. Cost is the cost. Here's your cost. Donations only. So all this proceeds will be going to the Volunteer Fire Department at South Kiowa County. Also coming up, let me find it here. I had a text message and that made me lose my spot there. Here we go. Canute Fire Department annual fish fry, Friday, May the 6th. It's not that far off, a couple weeks off, at 5 p.m. It's on Friday, and they're accepting donations for the fish fry. So you get a chance to support some of your local fire departments. Please do, because they're in a need for a lot of things. So they appreciate any help they can give, and the donations are coming in. I'm hearing for fire departments out there, keep them rolling. Don't stop, because these fires are not going to stop. If the forecast is right, the La Nina is here to stay till the end of the summer. And it was supposed to break up here in the next couple weeks, according to the forecast 2 months ago. And as you guys all know, weather's a prediction with a little bit of science with it. So things can change, but the La Nina is not giving up. So we're in for a dry time coming up. So please, anytime you can help these fire departments, because one guy put it bluntly last night. He said, we go out for a day to fight a fire, and we work on our equipment for 3 weeks. Or he did that this morning. Coulter Vault told me that. He said, we go fight fires for a day or 2 days or 3 days, and then we work on stuff for 3 weeks. Not only is that, the fire departments are just like us people out here having a hard time finding stuff. They've got parts they need. One fire department up north been waiting on this one part for over a month now. So, it's just heartbreaking that we're in the situation we are in the United States today, all because of COVID-19, I think. And now I think it's got a little more to do with the COVID now, as Kent was saying earlier. We got, here we go. What do we got going on here? Hi, Jimmy. Today's program with Mr. Watkins left me feeling informed and secure. Thank you. Thanks, gentlemen. Hey, thank you for listening. Well, let's see here. I got a deal for some, if you're a member of the the Texas and Southwestern Cattlemen's Association, you should have got an email. If you hadn't read your email, you need to listen up. Because of a series of wildfires across Texas and Oklahoma here lately, the Texas A&M Forest Service and Texas Internet Fire Mutual Aid System firefighters reporting responded to 10 wildfires totaling 55,000 acres in Texas, and what have I got up to? It's almost 80,000 in Oklahoma. These have been really bad on stuff, and just terrible on our economy anyway. But the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association has knows that great needs are currently being determined. For more information, we'll follow shortly regarding supply needs as hay and feed and fencing, as we all do here. And donations are being currently accepted through the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association Disaster Relief Fund. But they wanted me to pass along that these funds that you're donating will go directly to the cattle raisers who need it. The more we collect, the more we can give, and the more we can benefit. And they will have some stuff, and it'll be a case-by-case basis on who the amount of acres you got burned up, the amount of cattle you got that was destroyed, and the amount of fencing was destroyed, but they are getting a lot of relief. So if you are a member of the Texas and Southwestern Cattlemen's Association, read your email. There's a form in there that you can, because they send out emails every day, you can get some help there to let that go. And some more not so good news. The USDA released the annual prospective planning report on March 31st, and the contents point to the challenges for most multiple sectors of the cattle industry. While total area planted showed a light increase from last year, 317 million acres area devoted to corn production is reported to be declined by 3.9 million off acres. But here's the part that I was wanting to get to is hay. Hay harvested acres are expected to fall again, reaching their lowest level in more than a century. Soybean acres are posted the largest increase, and it's up 3.8 million acres. While the decrease in hay acres is not too surprising given the long-term trend, it's likely to lead to little relief from the record or near-record high hay prices that have been experienced in many areas in the country since the middle of last year. With drought conditions slow to improve in many areas of the country, cow-calf producers will continue to face an uphill battle to increase what remains to be rather scarce hay supply, setting up for a potential for a prolonged period of stubbornly high hay prices and, more than likely, stubbornly low cattle prices. Even states with the largest beef cow numbers have seen hay acreage decline substantially in recent years. The expectation for the 22 hay harvested acres in the largest 10 beef cow states comes in at 3.7 million acres. That's below its average 2000 to 2014, where it was at 6.1 million acres. So anyway, might be in trouble. Could be. Hope we're not. But anyway, I just want to follow that on to you thinking about hay, because I'm down to, if I had to feed my cows hay till middle June, probably middle June, if I make it that far, I'm out of hay. And when that happens, the cows are leaving. I can't feed them. And I don't have buddies that live in other states, because the buddies I do have in other states are in the same predicament we are. So it's not good. So anyway, we need some rain, guys. Everybody knows that. So hopefully we'll get some. And if anybody's got any hay for sale out there and you want to pass it along to me, I'll pass it along to our listeners. Be sure to text it in, 580-225-9697. Happy Easter, everybody. Enjoy your weekend with your family this weekend. And I'll see you guys Monday. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.